The reading is written in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, and followed by verses 25 to 34. It's to be found on page 970 of the Church Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Moving now to verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, as has already been said, this morning we're continuing looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we're coming on to that short petition, give us today our daily bread. Matthew places all this teaching about prayer right in the middle of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount sums up very clearly and succinctly for us what Jesus was saying, first of all, about what our mindset must be if we really want to be blessed by God. We call that bit the Beatitudes. He tells us what our attitude should be towards the laws that God had already given the Jewish people down through the centuries, that's the commandments and so on. And then he moves on to teach us about our relationship to God as our Father, how we should live our lives to please him, how our mindsets must change if we're to be his people, and how we're to address him in prayer. Well, I think it's all summed up in those few verses which Jim's just read to us from Matthew, verse 31 onwards. So, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Wait for it. Here's the bit. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And in his teaching about prayer, Jesus says that our style should be simple and straightforward. No flowery language. Say what we mean to say. Don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they'll think they'll be heard by their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But instead, in your prayers, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, when we look at that, we suddenly see exactly why he shaped the Lord's Prayer in the way that he did. The more we go through prayer, the more we shall long for those things that God longs for. The more we shall look for things that will enable us to glorify his name and advance his kingdom. Our focus will move away from ourselves and our luxuries, and we'll look much more to the treasures we want to lay up in heaven. The Lord's Prayer looks at God's concerns first and then tells us to trust for the rest. That's why those first petitions in the Lord's Prayer are entirely God-focused. As Holly reminded us earlier, we've been looking over the last few weeks at how they start by reminding us how holy God is, what is the priority of his kingdom, and what our task is in helping him to bring it about. And then, having got those really important things, Jesus brings us to focus on ourselves and our own needs. Give us today our daily bread. Now, having said all that, nobody, least of all Jesus, has ever said that prayer is easy. And I don't know about you, but I do know about me, that I find it just so easy to slip into my own agenda. To slip away from what God tells us to do, to let my mind wander, and to get off into my own agenda. Now, there's an old story which Benedictines tell to each other. Now, I've got to give you the government health warning. This is not a side splitter. You're not going to fall off your chairs laughing, but go with it anyway. The story goes that one day, St. Benedict, you know, he was the founder of the Benedictine order of monks. He was on a journey riding from one monastery to another, and he was riding on horseback. And he came across a peasant who was trudging through the mud. And this peasant looked up to him and said, all right for you. You've got it easy. I work my fingers to the bone every day, and you simply sit back, close your eyes and pray all day. Well, I think I'm going to become a man of prayer. Then I'll be able to ride on horseback instead of walking. Well, said St. Benedict, if that's what you think, I'll tell you what. If you can say the Lord's Prayer all the way through, just once, without getting distracted, I will give you my horse. Oh, you're on, said the peasant. And he closed his eyes, clasped his hands together, and prayed fervently, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us today our... Can I keep the saddle as well? And that's me all over. Now, be honest, haven't you sometimes prayed for a change of circumstances? You know, something quite easy that God could provide you with, like just the odd million win on the lottery or a legacy from an aunt you didn't even know existed. And isn't your reason for praying these things so that you could have a new car or a new outfit or something else you've been taken with or seen on the telly advertised or seen in a shop window? Or maybe you've seen in somebody else's home and you've liked. Well, not only is that sort of envy contrary to the 10th commandment, it's also against the spirit of the Lord's Prayer and the petition in which God asks us to provide our daily bread. Remember, we're in the second part of the prayer where if we're to do his will and help bring his kingdom down to earth, we're praying for the things we're going to need to accomplish that. This isn't a prayer about luxury or self-indulgence. It's a prayer about objective needs, sustenance, forgiveness and protective guidance. What we've got to pray for, Jesus says, is that we should keep physically strong to do the job he's calling us to. That's the bit about the bread. We should keep mentally strong. That's the forgiveness part. And spiritually protected against the forces of evil. The prayer covers everything we need to be equipped as workers for Christ. And today, as we look at this bit about bread, physical sustenance, give us this day our daily bread, the first thing to remember is this: God made us and God knows us. Now, we often say that in church, God knows us, meaning God knows our minds. And of course he does. But do you know what? He knows this bit as well, or that bit. Where is it that we digest things? He knows all about our gullet and our offal. He knows what it is that we need to keep our stomachs full and convert it all into energy that we need to have the ability to do his will. God knows our needs. He knows that we find it difficult to cope spiritually if we're physically deprived for very long. And he also knows, a jolly sight better than we know ourselves, just how much we need and what we need. Now, the Jews that Jesus would originally have been giving this message to knew all this only too well. The Jews celebrated, in fact, I'm sure they still do celebrate every year, the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's the time when they remember and they pass the story on to their children about the 40 years that their ancestors were wandering about in the desert after they'd left captivity, but before they reached the Promised Land. And one of the major concerns right at the start of that journey in the wilderness had been, and you can't say I blame them for this, what are we going to eat out there in the desert? After all, a desert is a desert. And apart from the odd dead scorpion, food is a bit scarce out there in the desert. No wonder they moaned on. It's all back there in Exodus 16. Oh, if only the Lord has let us die in Egypt, they said. There we sat by our pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. You brought us out into this desert to let us starve to death. But then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to send you food from heaven like rain. Each day the people should go out and gather only what they need for that day. In this way I'll test them to see whether or not they follow my instructions. But on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring home, they should bring twice as much as they gather on the other days. And so it was. The people lived for 40 years on the manna which God provided. And as they gathered it up, they learned some really important lessons. Lessons which maybe we've forgotten. And the first one is that God is entirely faithful to his children. He wants to provide for us just as much as an earthly dad wants his children to be fed. And secondly, God provided just enough for them. Not too much, not too little, just enough. Each day, they gathered enough manna to survive that day. But get this, if they were greedy, and if they picked more than they needed, when they went back to it the next day, it had gone mouldy and was crawling with maggots. God discouraged greed. Of course, there was an important exception to that. On the day before the Sabbath, they'd been told to pick twice as much as they needed for that day. God made that command in order that they could keep the Sabbath holy and not work on that day. He provided enough manna to last 2 days and it didn't go mouldy and maggoty. God gave them enough to provide them, to provide for them to live lives that obeyed his laws, did his work, advanced his kingdom and glorified his name. God gave those Jews out in the desert just enough to keep the balance between discipleship and greed. And the third lesson they learned out there in the desert was that God does answer our prayers. He does provide what we need to do his work. But we have to work for it. Do you remember right back in the Garden of Eden, God said, you can eat all the fruit, you can eat the produce of the garden, but you've got to pick it and you've got to look after it a bit. And Jesus reminds us right here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that God provides enough for the birds. They don't sow or reap or store away, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. But what Jesus didn't say, and what you and I know if we just look out of our window, is how hard birds work to go and forage for the food which God provides. Birds can't afford to sit back and be lazy. God provides for them, but they have to do the work to gather in what he gives them. Gives them for themselves and gives for their chicks. God provides, but he doesn't encourage laziness. The Israelites had to pick up the manna. God didn't serve it to them on a plate. But fast forward a few thousand years, and I think those lessons arising from the provision of manna in the desert, well, you know, the fact that God's going to provide enough for our needs, but we have to work hard for it, they somehow seem to have been lost in our day and age. Maybe it's got something to do with the fact that all we've got to do is pick up our mobile phone, go diddly, 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 and all of a sudden a van turns up at the door and delivers what we need. And we forget all the bit in between. But then suddenly, do you remember just those very few short months back, we were told there was going to be a COVID lockdown. Do you remember how the high street went bonkers? People panicking around, buying things they didn't need. I was completely oblivious to this, I have to say, until one day I was going out, I don't know where I was going, coming here I expect, and Jill said to me, well, while you're out, go and buy some pasta for tea tonight, will you? And I nipped into Sainsbury's. And if I say there wasn't any pasta, I mean, I don't just mean there wasn't any spaghetti or any lasagna. The whole shelf was empty. There was none, not a single strand. Shelves completely stripped. Thank goodness she didn't send me for toilet rolls. I mean, we and the rich went all out berserk, grabbing for ourselves all we could, whilst the poorer people in our society and the poorer people in poorer countries had to carry on doing what they always do, living day by day and trusting for tomorrow. When it came to both essentials and luxuries, the rich stocked up and the poor lost out. But to translate these principles to the Christian life, the poorer you are, the more you have to rely on God and trust that he will provide. You can tell me I'm wrong afterwards, but I am quite convinced that one of the reasons that Christianity, that church attendance in this country and in the rich West is dropping away, at the same time that it's growing exponentially in poorer countries, is because we've lost that lesson, we've lost that trust. The less you have, the more you have to rely on God and trust he'll provide, the closer you get to him. Our prayer is for daily bread. Not for this week's bread, not for enough bread for this month, not for enough bread for this year, but give us today our daily bread and trust God that he will provide what we need for today. And that brings me to the final point about the Lord's Prayer. It's a family prayer addressed to our Father. And it makes requests for us. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. It's not a prayer about me. Even if we're in a room all on our own praying this, we're doing so as a member of the family, of the church family. It's a corporate prayer. And that means that as we pray this, we're praying it not just for ourselves, but for each other. Certainly, I'm praying that I should be given my daily bread, but as a member of the Christian family, I'm also praying that you should be given what you need, because that's what us means. Now, here's the thing. You see, how can we pray sincerely if we're selfishly stockpiling and hoarding in our cupboards and keeping reserves for ourselves when we know other people are going without? How can we pray this prayer when we're not ready to share resources with our neighbours? How can we possibly pray this prayer when we know the personal cost, sometimes the cost of their health, that others at home and abroad suffer when they're being exploited in the course of preparing what we think we need? And as to that point, it's worth saying that in these days of mass media, there's no excuse for any of us to claim, but we didn't know that others were suffering so that we could pay less for what we want. So maybe the petition, give us today our daily bread, is also intended as a prompt to be part of the prayer answer to our own prayer. How else would God give others in need their daily bread, except through food banks, the night shelter? And where are the food banks and the night shelters going to get the bread to give the people who need their daily bread if it's not through us, part of the family? But just going back for a moment to that very practical matter of filling up the pantry against a rainy day, isn't it a good idea to buy whilst the price is right and to give ourselves a buffer in case the unexpected happens? Well, it's certainly a good idea in human terms, but clearly God doesn't think that highly of it. That's why he taught us to pray, give us our daily bread. That's why he gave the Israelites just enough manna for each day. Never too much, never too little. That's why when they were greedy, he punished them with mould and maggots. Remember these words. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin, maggots, mould destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God does want to provide for us, but he also wants us to be constantly aware of our dependence upon him, who is the source of all we have and all we are. He wants us to be in constant touch with him through prayer. He wants us to have day-by-day faith that he will give us all he knows we need. Jesus, his son, wants us to have faith. Faith enough to allow us to face each day with calmness. To face each day undistracted by worldly worries that might take our eyes off him. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread.